I was talking beforehand, you know, just trying to pick out some things that you guys are passionate about so that we can kind of pick your brain on that. And Brother Rosser, let me go to you if I can. You're really big on the subject of church planning. And you have a blog that you guys do. A podcast, I should say, that you guys do. And it's the Church Planters.
Church Planter Talks.
Church Planter Talks. And it's excellent. I've listened to numerous of those podcasts. And so church planning, what's the priority? Have we lost this art of church planning? Is it something that is fading among many churches today? Where do we stand on this?
Well, church planning as a whole has kind of become niche in the past, you know, 20 years. Like, it's the thing to do. But it's a lot harder than it seems. And so we have two different methods, really. One is kind of the cookie cutter method. Find the most successful large church and then do exactly what that church did. And it's very prepackaged to all levels, to a level of very fundamental, authoritative, to pure marketing. Yeah, so you have all levels. And I think it's a disservice because church planning is far about the organic birth of a church than the remodeling of some other ministry. And there's a couple problems, major problems that are going on in church planning right now. One is the number one issue that I deal with in talking to church planners is misplaced expectations. That they expect something else to have occurred in a limited amount of time. And what that does is it either potentially leads to compromise in order to get the number of people to come that I think should be coming, I have to try a different method that may not be a biblical method or may not be a transferable or multi-generational method. A lot of our really successful methods of church planning right now are not multi-generational. They're just temporary. And then, or it leads to discouragement and guys stopping. And just like Brother Jason was saying, you have to be successful at where you're at. And I know that about year two, when we planted the church, I was standing in the back because we started in a doctor's office called the Florida Sleep Institute, which is a great place for a Baptist church.
Wow.
6 years we were in that doctor's office. And I know about year two, I remember distinctly I was standing at the back door and looking out the door, hoping that somebody would drive up that I didn't know, somebody knew would drive up. And I could hear behind me the noise of people. And I was so discouraged because I was waiting for that new person to drive up. Waiting for that new person to drive up. And the Lord had been dealing with me through the book of Zechariah, chapter number 3. And the Holy Spirit kind of led me to this conclusion. While you're waiting for somebody to show up that's not going to show up, I've given you people to pastor. Why do you have your back to them? And I turned around, and of course, guess who was there in that small auditorium making all the noise? Well, at that point, it was my children, which is a small congregation, right? And I was
how many kids do you have, Rich?
I have eight kids. So while I was waiting for some no-name person to show up for me to expound my expertise, I was missing out on pastoring the people that the Lord had given me. And it was at that moment that I said, Lord, I want to be content with pastoring the people that you have brought to this place. And I'm going to tell you, it transformed the ministry because it not only allowed me to be content, it allowed me to believe I was doing what God had called me to do, not waiting to do what God had called me to do. And that's a big problem in church planting. Well, to be honest, it's a big problem in church. That's the other thing that I learned. Church planting is really the things that we do to make a church plant successful, we stop doing once we become successful. Just read a statistic the other day. The attendance disparity between men and women in America, 64% of people that attend church are female, right? And so pretty strong discrepancy there between male and female. Do you know that in a church plant, the attendance is almost 50-50?
Wow.
Male, female? And the reason for that seems to be because in a church plant, there is a sense of expectation of what needs to be done. And men, they come in and they do. They chart. They pioneer. They accomplish. And so there's a sense of they're needed in a church plant. And then we become a church. And we no longer need them. So we no longer have them. Churches, church plants by nature are more, they're not so, I'm trying to say this in a, this is being recorded. They're not so posh and flowery. They're pretty basic. You know, they're nuts and bolts. They're just framing. And you look and you say, man, there's a lot of need. And the pastor typically of church plant presents himself as one who is in need. Please, I'm in need. And then when we get to a position of plateau, now we present ourselves as somebody that they need. And we become posh and professional. And we've actually feminized, I don't say this in a disparaging way, we've feminized the church because we've become professional. Do you know that 75% of all paid Christian workers are female?
No, I didn't know that.
75%. It's kind of interesting, okay? And we do a lot of things in the church, professional, that we don't do in a church plant. In a church plant, it's not about just the coming to hear this grandiose conversation and making everybody feel comfortable. It's about, okay, guys, here's what we need to do. It's very where the rubber hits the road. Let's just figure it out. You know, some of the things that I see in churches, like, we want our ushers to wear jacket and name tags. You know who I wanted to be an usher on Wednesday night of the church plant? Someone who is breathing.
Right.
Right?
Right.
Because we are in desperate need of them. And so church planting is also known as a place of discipleship. Because while the church is growing, the people are growing. And there's a need. And so I've learned from church planting that it is the most discouraging place to be, and at the same time, the most vibrant time of the church. Every preacher that I've ever talked to talks about how awesome it was when they were little and how desperately they needed God. And so we've made a mistake that we have come to the idea that once our church is established, it's no longer a plant. And if it's no longer a plant, guess what it's not doing anymore? Growing. It may become top-heavy and topple over. So I've really made it a desire to keep the attitude, we're still just a church plant.